Good morning, everybody. The Speed Home Matters. Car Radio 97.3 FM. Seattle's News. Seattle Talk. I'm kind of chuckling a little bit. We got our good friend and longtime sponsor from Bedrooms and More, Blake Garfield. How are you doing, Blake?
I'm living the dream.
I know. Blake, what is your astrology sign, by the way?
I am a Scorpio.
Yeah. And I know you said last time you like to be cuddled.
Long walks on the beach.
We have Andrew over here. How's it going, Andrew?
Great.
And you like Andrew's beard?
I'm jealous, mostly. Yeah. I'm damn near 40, and I cannot grow facial hair.
Yeah, but you have a Tesla, so that makes up for it.
Yes, sure. But I have this patchy facial hair. If I try and grow it out, it's just embarrassing.
You know,
and Andrew's got this. It's luxurious. It's thick. There are no gaps.
I know. He does. He has a healthy.
This is a good radio.
Yeah,
you know,
you should see it.
Good. You know who you remind me of? What was from Scooby Doo? The guy with the
Shaggy.
Shaggy.
That's pretty low.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, come on.
You're like from the Mystery Machine. You know, actually, I saw
prefer the neckerchief look, you know, just, but,
well, we won't call you Shaggy then. I'll have to think of a different cartoon character.
Yeah.
Remind me of. All right. Well, it's good to have you here, man. We're going to talk today about some of the higher end designer brands, but here's the thing, guys. I don't want you to go, oh, that means expensive, because we're going to have a good discussion here and do some math on what is the cost, you know, of these beds versus the lifetime cost of ownership. Because I know, you know, the big trends you guys have heard, it's been, you know, mail order mattress here, mail order mattress there. Some of these guys are building big empires. And, you know, you may want to think a little differently about that. And that's why I really like what you guys have to offer, because you provide that education, you help out. So we're not stuck on our own out there.
That's the point of the How to Shop for a Mattress classes. I mean,
yeah.
Equipping people with the tools to make an educated choice.
Yeah.
Now, I love it because you're not telling people what your values are. You're giving people information and letting them establish what their values are. And, you know, if you have a reasonable understanding of how different mattress materials are going to wear, then you're going to end up in a position where, look, I only need it to last 3 years, or I'd like something that I'm not going to be replacing in 3 years. And you can come across it, you know, however you want. But
and the nice thing, too, is you have a lot of that down in your showroom. They can go down and lay on it.
Well, yeah, there's no substitute for actually spending a month on a bed. But, yeah I mean, spending time in a store, being able to identify. Because, you know, if you walked down the aisles in a mall or something, you got all these different body types. There's not one size fits all pair of jeans, just like there's no one size fits all mattress. It's about finding what fits your body, and it takes trying on a couple pairs of pants to find the right pair, you know.
And that's why we're going to talk about these two brands. The first one we're going to discuss that Blake brought to my attention, I did some research on it. I was like blown away by some of the materials, how they do the designs. Obviously, I'm nowhere near the expert that Blake is, so he's going to explain it to us. But the first one is Vispring.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about that company. They've been around for a long time.
Yeah, well, the person who invented the pocketed coil, the Marshall coil unit.
Which is used, like, all over the place.
Right. I mean, the reason most people know about it is because of those bowling ball commercials where there's less motion transfer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, I remember those. Yeah.
But he is the founder of Vispring, and the unit that he designed has six turns. So VI is actually for the Roman numeral six.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And the product that they've created is incredible. I mean, the attention to detail from start to finish is hands-on. You know, in most cases, they'll have a machine that will make a coil unit, and then they'll glue all the rows of coils together, and then they'll glue a piece of fabric on top. And the first time a person touches it is after all of these glue layers have been put in there and the machines have done all the work, and you end up with weak points, spots that are going to pop loose because the glue's not going to go perfect every time. And instead, here you've got someone who's actually physically hand sewing the rows of coils together so that they're
not...
So it's
all handmade.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the key to the type of construction that they do is they understand that no material is a magic mattress material. It's not going to change over time. But they've designed it in such a way where it addresses the wear of those materials and maintaining as close to the initial feel as possible through decades rather than weeks.
Don't they? I mean, I was looking at their story. They've been around since 1901 is what it's
said. Sure,
That's a long time.
Yeah, I actually went to the factory in Plymouth.
So you got to meet some of the craftsmen that put these...
Oh, yeah, and it is incredible. Yeah, I mean,
I bet.
They go.
That's an old world gone by almost.
Right. Well, and they'll hand tuft the sides. So there's a person, like, all they do all day is they do side tufting. And wow.
What is a tufting?
So in order to make a mattress more stable from side to side so it doesn't feel like wonky and rocky, yeah. If you tuft the side of the mattress, so they put a needle in the side and it goes in three coils deep and then they put it back out on the side and they go around the entire perimeter of the mattress, it gives an incredible degree of stability.
So just kind of locking in all the coils.
Right. And you don't have to put, you know, some border rod in there to that kind of digs into the back of your thigh. Or the thing in the mattress industry nowadays is to replace that border rod and put a big block of polyfoam around the outside. But the polyfoam's going to break down and you're going to feel like you have less of a sleep surface. So you're going to like roll off the side of the bed.
Yeah.
And here you're side tufting it so that you're not going to have that rolling off the bed sort of feel. But it also keeps it so it doesn't feel like it's racking from side to side and wonky.
No waterbed feel, huh?
You know, don't go slandering the waterbed.
I like waterbeds.
Hey.
Except for if they leak.
I had a waterbed crib. And then you think about the SIDS risk as an adult. You think that's just ridiculous. But
their
thought was, well, it's most like the womb. It's nice and warm. Oh, okay. You get the sloshing and all the noise.
Except for when you stop breathing.
Right, exactly. Now, I made it to adulthood. So we've already established.
Is there some brain damage there?
I am not a child physically. But I love waterbeds in a
do people even
in a weird
sell
way
waterbeds anymore?
We still have them.
We
hardly sell them. I mean, as a percentage of our business, it represents like 0.01%. But there's hardly a day that goes by that somebody doesn't come in and get a new liner or a new bladder for their mattress or their heater. Like after a power outage, we'll have an avalanche of people coming in and replacing their waterbed heaters. And it's but I mean
that's funny.
The thing about it, your body's a similar density to water, and you don't end up having body impressions. I mean, there's a huge degree of hassle that goes with like leaks or, you know, the motion side to side and all the things that go with it.
All this stuff, like, because waterbeds were big right in the 70s. So I have this, that's when I was in high school, in the 70s. And it's like this, like the Blacklight posters, Jimi Hendrix, bong hits. That's what I equate waterbeds with.
It totally shaped the way the mattress industry is now. Because back in the 70s, all beds were just basically harder and hardest.
Yeah.
And waterbeds came along and it was about conformity and alignment and pressure point relief. And now it's impossible to find that hard bed that you saw back then because the conventional mattress industry, their response was to make beds thicker and softer and create that contouring.
Yeah.
And, you know, you started seeing beds at this unheard of price of over $1,000 by the mid-80s where they were trying to respond to 30 million waterbeds being sold. Wow. I mean, it totally transformed the mattress industry.
That's cool.
I mean, they're still a failed industry if you ask me, but my dad says, no, it wasn't a failure. It was just a progression.
It was a transformation.
Sure.
So when we come back, we had our little waterbed deal. That was good. I'm glad you told us the history. We're going to get back to Vice Spring and Heston's. You guys really should check this out when you go to bedroomsandmore.com, or you can give them a call at 206-633-4494. You're on 45th, just up the street, back from Dick's towards the freeway.
Between 4th and Latona.
4th and Latona. Yeah, right on the 45th there. So check them out. Go in there. You guys, do you have the Vice Springs and Heston's in there?
Yeah, we got 14 of them on display.
So we're going to talk in detail about that in this show, and then go check these guys out. With that, I'm Pete.
And you're on the boards.
Awesome. This is Home Matters, Car Radio 97.3 FM, Seattle's News, Seattle's Talk. Okay, we're back. This is Pete with Home Matters, Car Radio 97.3 FM, Seattle's News, Seattle's Talk. We're having a good discussion here with Blake Garfield. When did you start working in your family business at Bedrooms and More? How long ago?
I started getting an actual paycheck when I was 16, but when I was 12, I would do home shows and things like that.
At 12 years old?
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is, I guess I was precocious. I was just a really outgoing kid, and
you'd have been a riot at the home shows. Come on in!
Well, my brain, the way it works is I just remember details. Yeah. And so when it was presenting products and things like that, I'd just go for it. Yeah. And it was fun.
And they probably looked at you and go, why didn't that guy, who was your dad, tell me that?
I'd sell just an avalanche of stuff. And it was hilarious. But I actually started getting a paycheck when I was 16. So I think that's when I count as being an employee.
Yeah.
And I also, when I was really little, I did some TV commercials and things like that. But,
oh, cool.
But I didn't.
Was it waterbed commercials?
That, yeah. Among,
waterbed.
Yes.
Yes, he loves it. Let's talk waterbeds.
Hey.
All right. Let's go back to the I want to talk about these two, because these two beds, I was like impressed. I was blown away.
They're incredible.
So tell me about, like, in the Vice Spring, we got the company history.
Sure.
We talked about the tufting and the hand craftsmanship that goes on, which is really cool. Talk to me about, I noticed on their website they use vanadium steel. How is that significant in your mind?
Sure. So if you use raw steel, which vanadium steel is, it's that it's not been made into something else first.
Right.
You end up with a more durable coil. And so with a tempered coil, you're trying to create a new memory, essentially. You know, you're trying to reconfigure bonds. And so when you temper something, you're basically reheating it, and then you're re-cooling it to give it that new memory. But if it doesn't have something that you're trying to kind of overwrite, you end up with something that's going to stay consistent longer. And Vicespring, which is pretty incredible, they actually put a lifetime warranty on their mattresses. And it was hilarious because I was at the factory and they were really, really proud of this warranty that they were doing on a mattress. And I said, why are you proud that you're doing a warranty service on a mattress? And they said, well, because this mattress is 72 years old and it's still got 95% of its original feel.
And it's been slept on for 72 years.
Right. And they're really proud because, well, we warrant the fabric too. Nobody else warrants the fabric, and we warrant the fabric.
So everything is lifetime.
Right. And so we're replacing the fabric on this 72-year-old mattress. It's like, well, that's bonkers. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, how it, because the lifetime warranty. So that person got the bed when they were really, really young, and now they're obviously fairly old. I mean, don't want to offend anyone, but if you've had a mattress 72 years, you're not young.
Yeah.
And so that's a pretty neat deal.
You know, we have several sponsors that have been around for a long, long time. And, you know, it's interesting what you bring up there, Blake, is when you have a company that's been around for over 100 years, they're probably going to be around a lot longer, and they can back, you know, all their work like this. So
sure.
A warranty is only as good as if the business is in business, right?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, mattress warranties, I'm going to be honest here, they're generally useless. I mean, warranty is not an indicator of comfort life.
Yeah.
And
What does that mean when they say lifetime for their warranty?
Well, they're basically warranting if you have an inch and a half of sag that's, you know, between the tufts that they're going to stand behind the product and they're going to make it right. Okay. You know, they're going to give you a new one or they're going to refurbish.
So basically they have it because they know that's not going to happen.
Right. I mean, the way that they've designed the mattress is that's not going to happen. The issue with the mattress industry at large is that if you're going to get yourself to an inch and a half of sag, you're either going to have an iron back or you're shaped like a balloon. Like you can't have that amount of compression that's sustained and feel like you're supported.
And so the waterbed.
Right, sure. Yes. So all these mattress companies that have 10, 15, 20 year warranties, the average age of those beds that were taken away from people's houses is like 4 years old.
Yeah.
And if you're taking away 4 year old beds, I mean, we just took away, I probably shouldn't say, and I'm, so we took away this company's product that was 2 years old. And it had an inch of sag, and they said we tried to get a warranty support, and they wouldn't support it because it wasn't an inch and a half, and we can't stick with that until we get to an inch and a half of sag. So they're buying a new bed.
Well, because I have some other questions about Vicespring. Sure. I mean, since we brought this up about like initial cost versus cost of ownership,
right?
Let's say the average you said is like what, 5 year life?
That's what Consumer Reports are good to have.
Okay, so consumer,
so sure, why not?
Yeah. And what is an average cost? I know it's all over the map, but like an average cost of a mattress that's going to last 5 years. What are we talking?
In what store sort of a thing?
It doesn't really matter. Are we talking like $1,000, $2,000 or what?
So in the queen size for a mattress that's going to be a 10 to 12 year bed in our store, you're anywhere from $400 up to tens of thousands of dollars. Okay. And there's everything in between. Range. But you can get a really good adult quality bed for $400 or $500 that's going to be 10 to 15 years if you're good about rotation and flipping and the
like. So what like for a Vicespring or Heston's, what are we talking about for like price range on that?
The Vicespring's anywhere from like $3,200 up to their most expensive is like $150,000, though we don't have it. It's because it uses
so like, on average they're going to pay $3,000 to $4,000 for
that's the entry level. Okay. Our most popular like ones are going
to
be in the
five
for
six?
A queen set. You'd be 10 ish.
Okay,
it'd be kind of the average.
Let's say 10, but you have that for the rest of your life, right?
It's a very permanent bed.
Okay,
yeah.
So if that's $10,000, and I've got this other one that I'm paying. Let's say
if you take an online one, most of the online ones are between 800 and 1,000.
Okay, so let's go at the very low end, 800, and those last an average of what, 5 years?
Maybe. The online ones, like 2-3.
Okay, so we'll give them the benefit. We'll say 3 years.
Call four. It doesn't matter.
Okay, yeah. We'll say four. So if I have to replace my mattress every 4 years, and I've got, let's say, 50 years, I'm going to be sleeping on this thing, right? So I'm going to be.
You're optimistic.
Well,
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, man. I'm going to the waterbed. Did you see he just slammed me? And he's supposed to be cuddly. And he owns a Tesla. And he slammed me. All right. That's okay. I am getting up there.
Work owns the Tesla. It is a company vehicle.
Oh, okay. It's a tax deduction. I get it. you and Elon. Next thing, he's going to be going to Mars on SpaceX.
That'd be...
I know you're headed there.
My parents might like to send me there. I don't know.
You can start a Bedrooms and More on Mars.
Yeah. Me and no customers hanging out.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll
go back
to that.
Potatoes like Matt
Damon.
Okay, so
let's say, I'll be generous. So it's a 3 year life. I'm going to probably have to, in 30 years, I have to replace that 10 times. And I paid $800. So now I'm at 8,000. Is that? No. 80,000.
Yeah.
$80,000 I spent for the online version of what I just spent $10,000 for in the vice ring. Correct?
Sure. Yes. Your math is sound.
Okay. But, well, I'm just looking at, like,
I mean,
you can fudge
those numbers up in terms of lifespan, and the numbers still add up in the favor of the vice ring.
The point I'm making is the cost of ownership, even though you're making that investment up front, because of the quality and the value and the lifetime aspect of it. It's in the long run, it's cheaper to own one of those than just to go out and do the online thing every 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, the key, though, in all of this is comfort. I mean, it doesn't matter how much you spend. If you can't sleep on it, it's not worth anything. And the thing that I think is really incredible about the Vicespring approach is that there's such a broad range of feels that they're able to accomplish. Yeah. I mean, they use different tensions on the coil. So, you know, a different gauge of wire gives them different feels. They have different materials that they put on top or on top and bottom.
We're going to talk about that because we got a break for a segment. But I want to get into, like, how, with all of those different choices, how do you help people pick that right kind of mattress, whether it's a Vicespring or a Heston's, in our next segment we come back. With that, I'm Pete. This is All Matters, Car Radio 97.3 FM, Seattle's News, Seattle's Talk. Seattle's News, Seattle's Talk. We're having a good discussion about the higher end, which, you know, I guess you could say higher end, but it doesn't mean expensive when you look at cost of ownership on some of these mattresses and also some of the choices. And that's where we kind of left off. We were talking about the Vicespring. You talked about there's different coils, Blake, and there's different materials. How in the heck am I supposed to, like, figure out what's right for me?
Oh, well, so... When it comes to being successful in choosing a bed that's going to suit you long term, I offer some kind of primary pieces of advice, which is, one, the more extreme the change you make from what you're currently sleeping on, the harder it's going to be for your body to adjust. So if you're on something that's pretty firm, you should get something that's pretty firm. If you want to go a little bit softer, great. Don't go to the softest thing in the store. If you want to go way firmer, don't go to the firmest thing in the store. A little bit goes a long way. Because you've trained your body through years, sometimes decades, to sleep on a certain surface.
But what I'm trying to get at, though, Blake, is you just, before we broke for the last segment, you talked about there's all these different kind of like coil designs, right?
Sure.
So how would I know? Do I lay on each of your beds, or what do I do there?
You shouldn't. I mean, you start laying on a ton of beds, they all start to feel the same. I mean, and you're usually in the market for a mattress when your bed at home is well past due to be replaced. And so... In a good process, you've got someone who's basically your concierge through this whole deal, and you're going to have them have you lay on a bed. And the responsibility of the person who's actually shopping is to offer feedback. Say, you know, this feels...
I know that's the big value you guys bring. You are the concierge for these people. So are you asking them, what do you typically have at home? Or how do you guide
them? Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of questions. And, you know, I had... When I first started doing the sales, when I was like 12 to 16, my parents had this guy who was a manager, and he was a really, really good sales trainer. And he said, you know, in the sales process, you have two eyes, two ears, and one mouth, and you should use them proportionately. And so the burden on a salesperson is to ask questions, and they're leading questions. I mean, they're meant to drive a response that is not a yes or no response. And so you're asking somebody to describe what their experience is at home, what does work, what has worked,
so
what
doesn't
work.
So it's kind of an open-ended question to get.
Yeah, and you're going to... You know, if I have someone says, oh, I have, you know, this mattress from this year, I know exactly what that bed was made of because that's, you know, that's my skill.
That's your knowledge.
And so I can then put them on a bed that's going to feel really pretty close to that. And I can show them 3-4 beds that feel roughly the same, but are built totally differently. And so you might have one that has foam as the support system. You might have one that has coils as the support system. You might have one that's got a zipper cover and you can access the inside. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But then we talk about the pros and cons of the different styles of construction. So the person understands what to expect from those. And then they can determine whether that value is worth, you know, $2,000 more than this one, or this one is worth $2,000 less and I need to buy the other one. It's not our choice to make because we're not the ones sleeping on it. It's giving people good information and letting them come to their own conclusion.
Yeah.
And if you can get somebody to try fewer than 5 beds in the process, you've asked enough questions to do a good job. If somebody tries more than 5 beds, you didn't do your job asking the right questions
kind of narrow it down for them.
Then you've got to lay on the floor and have that coffee sniffing moment or something. Like, I don't know. Like, you can't get there because they all start to feel the same. It doesn't matter how good you are after you've had them test too many beds.
Okay, so that makes sense. I get it, and you guys really are the point of contact.
The question you were trying to ask is, well, how do I know if horsehair versus cotton versus mohair versus something else?
That's where I was going next, because it's like I look at Vicespring and they have like cashmere and vicuna and mohair, and it's like, what makes sense for me?
Sure. Well, you get. So a bed without horsehair versus a bed with horsehair, there's a totally different feel.
Okay.
And you really only need to test one of each style.
I don't think
I've
ever laid on a horsehair bed. What does that feel like?
It's this kind of odd's not the right word. It's this response, this kind of springiness that holds without feeling harsh.
It's definitely a firmness, but
it holds you and kind of cradles you in a very different way than you get with
when you lay on
foam or coils or something like that.
When you lay on it, do you hear Frau Blucher in the background? Does he know Young Frankenstein?
No idea. Yeah.
Do you remember that movie?
I don't.
All right. Well, you guys probably don't know who Barty Feldman was either.
I'm the wrong audience for this one.
Well, you're too young. That's the thing.
That's my problem.
You guys that are out there that are the baby boomers, you know what I was talking about. And obviously, he knew about waterbeds, so I thought I'd bring up Frau Blucher.
You know, I'm in touch with a lot of old movies because my wife just loves watching classic movies.
You should watch that one. That's Young Frankenstein.
All right.
It's got Marty Feldman. I can't remember. Gene Hackman. Wally Wonka guy.
Wait, Gene Hackman just passed away?
Well, who's the guy that was in Willy Wonka? Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder passed away?
No.
Oh, God.
Gene Wilder was in the movie.
Yes, I know.
Young Frankenstein.
Okay.
He was a scientist.
The
Frankenstein guy. Anyway, watch that movie. It's a good old movie. It'll make you laugh. But Frau Blucher, every time Frau Blucher comes, there's a horse that goes, wee! And so there's like this joke, ugly joke in the movie. That's why I brought it up with the horse. I know it sounds stupid.
It's a Mel Brooks movie, right?
Yeah.
Mel Brooks. I've seen a bunch of his movies.
Okay. All right, let's get back to... Okay, so basically, why, though, going back to Vicespring, why do they have like cashmere and silk and vicuna and mohair? What is the deal with all that, with the materials?
You get different feels with different materials. It's a lot harder to tell the difference in feel between, you know, silk and bamboo, but when you compare something like cotton and horsehair, there's a vastly different feel. Okay. Or if you have vicuna, I think that has more to do with people who have more money than they know what to do with. Okay. And they're like, you know what? I could drive a Mercedes or I could drive a Bentley, but I'm going to buy the Bentley because it's a Bentley.
Yeah.
The vicuna, that's in their really like $150,000 bed. And it's the person who's like, I want the most expensive. And that stops being practical. That starts just being about ego. Okay. And that's okay, too. But we don't display that.
Rich people out there in Seattle.
We don't display that bed because, you know, the value stops being there at some point and it starts being about ego. And I'm not above selling someone an ego bed, but I'm also above
functionality.
I'm above buying one to put on display right now. But that's just personal taste.
Well, let me ask, because we're running out of time. I did want to, how is Heston's different from Vispring?
So there are a lot of similarities and a lot of differences. Heston's has this approach where it's a package where you get the divan, which is a box spring, but it's a piece of furniture, essentially. And they have the mattress, and then they have the topper. Okay. And their toppers are all horsehair. The reason there's a horse on their logo is that they started actually as a saddle company. And as saddles were becoming less of a thing and cars were becoming more of a thing, they transitioned away from making saddles into using horsehair in their mattresses. Okay. And their horsehair is in the topper. It's in their divans on some of the expensive ones and in some of the mattresses. And in terms of the mattress, they're actually very, very similar. You know, I mean, they tuft them. They side tuft them. The craftsmanship is very similar.
Springs kind of thing.
Yeah. But the feel that you get is very different. And some people prefer the feel of a Vispring. Some people prefer the feel of a Heston's. Okay. With the Heston's, the topper, because the wear is all happening at the top, people will replace the topper, but the base mattress they'll not replace. Because that coziness that you get on the surface with a Heston's is very different than the coziness you get on a Vispring.
Okay, got it. So, guys, here's the thing. These two beds, I was, like, impressed. Got some more education from Blake. Thank you for coming on again. If you really want to see what these are like and you want to talk to Blake and his family and you want to actually try these out, go down to Bedrooms & More. They're right there off of 45th, just on back from Dick's between, what's the two streets again?
4th and Latona.
4th and Latona. I would just say go down there. Their showroom is unbelievable. And they're building a new building. You can go see that one, too. It's almost finished, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Someday. Or give them a call if you want, 206-633-4494. You still got the Saturday class,
9:30, usually about an hour long. Yeah. Coffee, fruit. Provided.
Yeah. You want no donuts anymore, but coffee and fruit. It's all good.
Yeah, well, I've been trying to be more slender.
You know? Yeah, I hear you. We all have to. So, all right, that sounds good. Well, thank you, Blake. I appreciate that. With that, I'm Pete.
Andrew on the boards.
This is Cairo Radio News, 97.3 FM, Seattle's news. Okay, we are back. This is Pete with No Matters, Cairo Radio, 97.3 FM, Seattle's news, Seattle's talk. We're in our last segment here. We're talking to Blake Garfield of Bedrooms & More, and we have been discussing everything from water beds to high-end beds to the online beds that probably you might want to think about getting.
Or not
getting. In my opinion, or not getting. We won't
so
name
close.
Any names
so
if
close.
You see them all at DV. But the thing is, guys, here's the deal. And you guys know this. The people, the sponsors we have in the show and the products that they have, they're top of the line, and they back it with great service. You know, in our last segment, you know, there's a lot of choices. And we're going to get into this Heston's with the horsehair thing because I've never laid on a horsehair bed. We'll talk a little bit about that. But the point I'm making is that when you do this, the best thing is, first of all, get into a showroom and then also talk to the people that are at that business, you know, that have the knowledge, because you can narrow things down. You know, we talked in the last segment pretty quickly about, like, okay, this might be the right, you know, mattress for me or right bed for me. And that's a huge time saver because, right, without that, like, I'd be like, I don't know what to do. I'm overwhelmed.
Well, there's so much information and, unfortunately, misinformation out there that people are trying to filter through in a lot of aspects of their lives these days, and trying to identify, you know, who's giving you good information and who to trust.
There's a lot of good marketers out there.
Oh, well, I mean,
let's just put it that way.
the most successful mattress companies are not mattress companies. They're marketing companies that happen to be hawking mattresses, and they're not necessarily good for the consumer. They're good for the margins of the people who are hawking the mattresses, which is, you know.
Well, you know, one thing you have to think about is, like, and I'll say it, is if a mattress only has a 2 to 3 year life and now it's going to be thrown away, you're putting a lot of stuff into a landfill.
That's not cool. I actually went down, there was a big summit down in kind of the Showwear Center, and they're talking about how the average ton of mattress waste takes up 19 times the volume, and with the surge in online mattresses and the trend of a lot of companies selling beds that you can't flip over anymore, the transfer stations are being overwhelmed by the volume of waste coming through there.
They can't recycle those.
Well, you can, but it's expensive. We take mattresses away from people. We pay $11 per piece. So if it's a king set, we pay $33 to have that mattress stripped down. About 95% of the waste is recyclable, but most places aren't going to do that.
And you guys do that, though.
We do that, they're talking about instituting a mattress tax that's at the time of purchase that will go towards
taking care of these mattresses that are being dumped at the end of the life.
They actually did that already in Vancouver, BC, and they're talking about bringing that down to the Seattle area.
Okay. So they have some way to chew them up and
right. Well, the foams, they'll be chipped and steam sanitized and made into things like carpet pad and coils can be,
which is good,
remelted and used for other things.
Materials is a good thing. Yeah.
Right. The problem is that most of them aren't being reused, which is what the crisis is right now, and they're trying to address it. Which is, it's cool that they're,
and you know, it's unfortunate that the company that's producing that doesn't take the back end responsibility for it.
Oh, yeah, they don't care.
Yeah.
It's because they got their money at the beginning.
All right. I want to go back to this.
You were asking about horsehair.
Horsehair, because, well, and Andrew brought up, what was your question, Andrew, about the horsehair?
Well, I've never slept on a horsehair mattress either. And it just, I'm trying to conceptualize how you get this, like, flat, long hair into some sort of a surface that is springy and comfortable and
sure. So you're right that horsetail is it's a really long straight hair, and in order to make it a responsive bedding material, they take that hair and they braid it, and then they essentially steam it so it creates a kind of a new memory. It's like a perm for a horsetail.
So it's like a big old curling iron, aren't they?
Right. I mean, except for the curling. Curling is done by the actual hair itself, so they're braiding it around itself.
Yeah, restructuring the cell structure.
Right, and then they take that horsetail, and they actually run it through, for all intents and purposes, what looks like a wood chipper. And it's months later, after they've done the braiding, after they've done the steaming, after it's been reset as this really curly, curly thing, they put it through a wood chipper, and then they end up with laying mats of horsetail down to create loft, and they'll actually pile it fairly tall. And
how many horsetails do you need to make a mattress?
Oh, that's a great question.
Is there a bunch of horses running around with like corgi tails? They go around to clip them off and take off?
That's
like a corgi dog.
That's a hilarious visual, actually.
It's like, oh, my tail.
So with that, they'll pile it really, really high, and then they tuft it down, and it actually pre-compresses the coils.
When you say tuft it down, are they actually wrapping stuff around?
No. So they take the mattress after it's been side tufted, after they've piled batting on, and the mattress ends up being, almost 30 inches thick. But then they take all of that batting and they put it in a table and they compress it down to like.
And the batting is what kind of material?
It depends on which mattress. Some will be horsetail, some will be wool, some will be both, some will be with mohair or vicuna or all these different things.
So if it's horsehair, they're just going to compress it?
Well, there's coils in the middle.
Okay.
And then there's batting on top and bottom, regardless of what type of batting they're doing. Okay. And they put so much batting there because they know batting material is going to compress.
Right.
And so by putting it in this big table that compresses it all the way down, they then put a needle through it that has a tuft on both sides. And that distance between tufts might only be 8-9 inches. And so this mattress that would have been, 30 inches material becomes between the tufts 9 inches, but it might be a total of, 10 or 11 inches thick.
Okay, so I have to ask a question here, though.
Okay,
why are they putting batting on the bottom? Why don't they just put it on the top and not the bottom?
Well, because if you put material on just one side of a bed, you're going to end up with uneven wear. And, your body is not going to sleep on every surface of a bed. Okay. But if you have a 200-pound mattress and you're not on top of it, all day long the material on the bottom is getting flat wear from a pretty heavy bed. And when you're wearing the top, it's uneven, but you flip that over and it'll flatten out while it's on the bottom as you're wearing the top.
That's why. So you could flip it over.
Right. If you can't flip a bed, there's no way. There's no way you're going to get a good value proposition.
You educated me on that before, and I forgot. So that, that's
okay.
A good point.
Yeah. So there's coils that are in that tufted mattress. They're actually compressed part way. And so what might have been a 6-inch coil unit is compressed down to 4 inches.
Does that ever, that vanadium, does it ever take on a memory set?
It's I've never seen one do that. And they were talking about beds that were, you know, 70 plus years old that still had 95% of the response to the coils. So you're going to have an awful lot of durability on that coil unit. And so then as the batting on top or on top and bottom compresses, the coils will actually expand to fill that void so you don't get a body impression. And that's the beauty of that old stool style of craftsmanship. And by knowing that they've got to have so much batting there, that's pre-compressed.
Is it also, the horsehair also help that where it doesn't take a set?
Yeah, the horsehair is going to be certainly a lot more durable than the other batting materials. I mean, depending on what type of batting you're going to use, you're going to have different degrees of response. Horsehair is going to be among the most durable. But, you know, wool is very good. It's got a natural crimp to it. Cotton tends to be the least resilient, aside from really synthetic ones that neither of these companies use. But if you used, you know, Dacron or polyester fiber or something, you'd have even less life. I mean, that's why those cheapo pillows get flat, lumpy, and garbagey.
Okay. Well, man, as always, the only piece of advice I have, if you're a horse and you're living near the Weisbringer Heston's factory, make sure you watch your backside, because you might lose your tail. Blake, as always, man, it was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Pete.
Good education, a lot of fun. Talked about a whole bunch of stuff. Go check them out. They're over there by on 45th, just before Dick's, between 4th and
Latona.
Two big buildings, but just go check there. They can, Blake and his family can help you out. I mean, they're very educated, obviously, is all the stuff we're learning about here. You can go check out the Weisbringer and Heston's mattresses there, or you can give them a call, 206-633-4494, and they also have their Saturday class at 9:30 every Saturday.
How to shop.
Go check it out. You get coffee and fruit, because they're healthy over there.